From a human perspective, God's people on earth today may appear undefended and vulnerable. Why do we have no cause for fear, regardless of who may take a stand against us? We know that you will enjoy the thrilling final talk of this Be Courageous convention. Brother Sheridan Westcott, our convention chairman, will discuss the theme, There Are More With Us Than Against Us. Brothers and sisters, we have arrived at the final part of our beautiful convention. I'd like to ask you a question. Would you say that our 2018 Be Courageous Regional Convention has lived up to its billing? What would you say? We're here because our wonderful God has chosen to build us up by helping to strengthen our courage. And it's been touching. Why? Brothers and sisters, I know just from talking to many throughout our circuit, and I'm sure it's true in all the circuits that are represented here, while it's true that we need courage in the future, so many of our dear brothers and sisters, so many of you, are facing trial, tragedy, sometimes all such trials and tragedies and problems, seemingly all in a very short period of time. And it seems that our brothers and sisters are facing more as the time gets closer. So, dear brothers and sisters, we realize that at times we can feel like the world is against us. We can feel at times like those who oppose us in our ministry, in the truth, to remain loyal, outnumber us. We can at times feel as did David. He expressed to Jehovah, he said, see how numerous my enemies are and how violent their hatred is to me. But my enemies are vigorous and mighty. Those hating me for no reason have become numerous. Yes, we can feel like David sometimes. But we want to take courage. We want to pay attention to the beautiful encouragement that Jehovah provided through two faithful servants of his. Number one, Moses. Please turn with me to the inspiring words of Moses that he was instructed to speak to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 17. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 17. Notice what it says. Remember that the nation of Israel was, they were basically camped in the plains of Moab. They were just about to launch in to take over the promised land. Now, Moses knew that they might be fearful. So he said, if you should say in your heart, these nations outnumber us, how can I drive them away? Verse 21, go down there with me. He said, do not be struck with terror because of them, for Jehovah your God is with you, a great and awe-inspiring God. Now, friends, when you think of how similar our situation is to the Israelites, we are so close. We are on the threshold of God's new world. We need to take heart. And Moses' words as well. The God that is with us, our God, Jehovah, is a great and fear inspiring God. But let's take a look at the second faithful servant and his words and how they can inspire us. Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Now you will remember that this is the famous, beautiful words that King Hezekiah spoke to the nation of Judah, particularly to those inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now remember, Hezekiah too, he felt surrounded. Surrounded by the Assyrian army. Just like we sometimes feel outnumbered, surrounded maybe by the enemies of Jehovah, our opposers. Notice what King Hezekiah said in 2 Chronicles 32, starting in verse 7. He said, "Be courageous and strong. Do not be afraid or be terrified because of the king of Assyria and all the multitude with him. For there are more with us than there are with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Jehovah our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people were strengthened by the words of King Hezekiah to them. Yes, friends, what do these words remind us of? If we are one faithful servant of Jehovah, if we are one all by ourselves, and we are on the same side as Jehovah, we are in the majority. Decidedly, with Jehovah on our side. But Jehovah has gone further, though, to provide us encouragement. To strengthen our courage, he's given us beautiful examples. We're going to consider three more examples in the next few minutes. We're going to look at the example, first of all, of King Asa. Who was King Asa? Well, remember, friends, King Asa was the third king of Judah. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the kings, I always feel that I need to put in a bit of context. What does that mean? Well, remember, the nation of Israel started out, the kingship started out with Saul, right? Then it went to David, then to his son Solomon, then to Solomon's son Rehoboam. And remember, that's when the split took place. Then there was Abijah and then Asa. Now, in all that time, particularly the time since Solomon, the nation of Judah had spiraled into terrible false worship. Yet, King Asa, he came along and built a strong relationship with Jehovah. In fact, 1 Kings 15:14 says that Asa's heart was complete with Jehovah. What did he do? Well, let's turn in our Bibles and read 2 Chronicles. Chapter 14, verses 2-4. So 2 Chronicles 14, we'll start in verse 2. Notice it says, Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of Jehovah his God. He removed the foreign altars at the high places, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the sacred poles. Further, he told Judah to search for Jehovah, the God of their forefathers, and to observe the law and the commandment. But you notice, here, Asa, he worshipped Jehovah in such a way that was right in the face of the people. I mean, and that no doubt strengthened them. We could say that Asa did not try to worship Jehovah from inside a closet. No, he worshiped Jehovah in public. What's the example for us? What's the lesson? Friends, we need to identify ourselves publicly as a servant of Jehovah. That will help us to strengthen our courage. Now, because of searching for Jehovah, there was peace in the land. Jehovah had brought peace. What did Asa do with that peaceful state, with that peaceful condition, that time? Well, it's very interesting that while the times were good, Asa used the time to fortify the cities that were in Judah. Now let's read about it. Please read with me 2 Chronicles 14, going down, and let's read verse 7. He said to Judah, let us build the cities and surround them with walls and towers, gates and bars. For the land is still at our disposal because we have searched for Jehovah our God. We have searched, and he has given us rest all around. So their building was successful. So what do we learn here? See, friends, Asa used the time to strengthen the cities while it was peaceful. The lesson for us is clear. We need to use this time now. We could say in relative peace to strengthen our confidence in Jehovah and our courage. Now, notice something else. What Asa did. Did you notice about the middle of verse 7? It says that he surrounded down the cities with walls and towers and gates. What is significant about that? Well, remember that in ancient times, in walled cities, the weakest point of the city was its gate. That's why the gates were so hotly contested in war and hotly defended. So, the gates were the weakest point, and they defended them. Friends, what does that make us think about? It tells us that we can learn from Esau by using the time now to strengthen our weakest point, our weaknesses, to help root them out, so to speak. Ask Jehovah to help us to do that. Let's take a look at something else Esau did in his true worship to Jehovah. Please, flip over to chapter 15 and look at verse 16 with me. It's pretty remarkable. Asa, in his searching for Jehovah, he's identifying himself as one of Jehovah's servants. Notice what else he did. It says in verse 16 of chapter 15, Asa the king even removed Maacah, his grandmother, from her position as queen mother, because she had made an obscene idol for the worship of the sacred bull. Wow. Asa was even willing to take action against a family member who was not worshiping Jehovah properly. He was worshiping Jehovah impartially. Friends, what an example for us. We do want to respond to Jehovah's word, make necessary adjustments, do so with impartiality. What might that mean for us? Responding to God's word in such a way, well, think about it, friends. Might our course of action, might our need for courage involve family members? We've already heard about this weekend how, even with our association, sometimes we might have family members that have made it expressly known they don't want anything to do with the truth. So we've talked about how we might have to guard our associations in such a case. What about if we have family members who have been disciplined by the congregation or need to be disciplined? Yes, we need to act courageously and impartially, just like Asa did in responding to the word of Jehovah. Now, in the face of calamity, Asa also continued to fully trust in Jehovah. Let's take a look at an account. Go back, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 14 with me, please. And this time, let's read verse 9 to verse 11 and see what Asa faced and how he responded. There it says later, Zerah, the Ethiopian, came against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. When he reached Naresha, Asa went out against him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zaphathath at Naresha. Asa then called to Jehovah his God and said, O Jehovah, It does not matter to you whether those you help are many or have no power. Help us, Lord Jehovah our God, for we are relying on you, and in your name we have come against this crowd. O Jehovah, you are our God. Do not let mortal man prevail against you. Heartwarming prayer. What confidence. Can you just see that confidence, friends, that Asa showed in Jehovah? What happened? A resounding victory resulted. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 13 says that the enemies were crushed by Jehovah. Crushed. Yeah, resounding victory. What does this teach us? Never underestimate the power of prayer. Now later on, Asa again faced a calamity. But what happened this time? Well, this time, Asa, instead of courageously relying on Jehovah, he turned to the king of Syria. What happened? What happened to Asa? Well, friends, it tells us something. Clearly, once courageous does not mean always courageous. The lesson? Never become overconfident. Do not rely on past faithfulness. Continue to nourish our confidence in Jehovah, our reliance on Him, and our courage. Let's take a look at a second example. Let's look at the example of the prophet Elijah. Now, what do we learn about courage from him? Well, again, let's just remind ourselves of who was the prophet Elijah? Okay, he was one of the foremost prophets of Jehovah. Remember, he started his long career during the reign of wicked King Ahab and his wife, wicked Queen Jezebel. Now, again, the nation had slipped horribly into false worship. So how did Elijah demonstrate courage? Well, let's read 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. 1 Kings 18 and verse 21. Now, remember that in this account, it's talking about the time when Elijah made this great test to prove that Jehovah is the true God. And here, notice what he declared to the people. Now in verse 21, it says, then Elijah approached all the people and said, how long will you be limping between two different opinions? If Jehovah is the true God, follow him. But if Baal is, follow him. But the people did not say a word in answer to him. Friends, Elijah here courageously urged the people to be decisive. Serve Jehovah, he is the true God. What's the lesson for us? Today we must urge people to take their stand with Jehovah while there's yet time. And we must particularly work to motivate our children and our Bible students to do so. Let's look at another lesson in courage from Elijah. See, Elijah, throughout his career as prophet, he proclaimed the word of Jehovah, whatever it was. For example, early on in his career, he proclaimed to wicked King Ahab there would be a drought for 3.5 years. Later on, he came back and proclaimed to him that there would be rain. At one point, Elijah proclaimed that fire would come down from heaven and consume the sacrifice that proved that Jehovah is the true God. What's the point? Elijah boldly proclaimed Jehovah's word. He did not give in to fear, wondering whether these things would really happen. Friends, the lesson for us, with full confidence, we want to continue to proclaim Jehovah's word concerning the embassy's entire system. Not one word of Jehovah will not come true. Not one word will fail. message to our neighbors. Now think for a moment, too, when we think about Elijah. Do you remember our brother yesterday afternoon nicely described how Jehovah cared for Elijah? Remember at one point, Jehovah had the ravens bringing meat and bread twice a day. He was drinking fresh water out of the little mountain stream. Yes, Jehovah provided for Elijah. Later on, it was through the hands of a poor widow, the widow of Zarephath. Remember, her large jar of flour and her small jar of oil did not run dry. The lesson. Friends, we can trust Jehovah to supply our needs as long as we seek first the kingdom. We do not have to despair in the face of employers who want us to regularly miss our meetings because of some kind of shift, because of work. Friends, we can rely on Jehovah. We can trust that He will not fail us if we put the kingdom first. And friends, think about it, even for our dear ones who are ill, maybe have certain infirmities, even emotional challenges, extreme anxiety that limit what you can do to get out of your home. Don't worry, you're included too, because we can tie in on the telephone to our congregation meetings. Remember, most congregations have that facility now. So when we're tied in to our meetings, we are counted, we are there. So friends, let us have full confidence in Jehovah to put our meetings and our service first, and Jehovah will care for us. Now, after Elijah showed great courage in seeing to the destruction of false worshippers, Elijah found out that wicked Queen Jezebel, was after him. For what purpose? To kill him. What did he do? Well, friends, let's read what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. And see what we can learn from this. What encouragement can we draw? Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll just actually read verse 3 and verse 4. Notice what it says. It says, at that, he became afraid. So he got up and ran for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his attendant there. He went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die. He said, it is enough. Now, O Jehovah, take my life away, for I am no better than my forefathers. What did he do? When threatened, Elijah experienced a momentary lapse in courage. And he ran. And he ran a long ways away. Friends, the Bible tells us that he felt, what we can see here clearly, that he felt like he'd failed. He felt like he had failed because he'd succumbed to fear. And now he's thinking, he's saying to Jehovah, I'm no better than anybody else. The Bible even tells us that Elijah felt like he was alone. It's heartwarming. It's beautiful to consider how Jehovah dealt with Elijah's momentary lapse in courage. Please, read with me 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go down to verse 11 and verse 12. Notice what it says. Here in this verse, Jehovah performs this amazing display of power. And this is what he does. Jehovah says, but he said, go out and stand on the mountain before Jehovah. And look, Jehovah was passing by, and a great and strong wind was splitting mountains and breaking crags before Jehovah. But Jehovah was not in the wind. couldn't mean there was an earthquake. But Jehovah was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire. But Jehovah was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a calm, low voice. Now what does this account teach us? Well, we can see this tremendous display of power that Jehovah put on for Elijah. And then what? After this display, Jehovah speaks to Elijah in a calm, low voice. In fact, this account, friends, makes me chuckle. Because here he makes this big display of power, and then he says to Elijah, if we read the whole account, he says, Elijah, where are you going? Where are you going, Elijah? Do you see what happened here? It was like Jehovah put on this big display of power. And then he said, Elijah, do you have any questions? Do you know who I am? Yes, Jehovah. Jehovah was, in just this beautiful experience, he was telling Elijah, he has the power to care for his servants. What a beautiful display of Jehovah supporting his servants, even in a momentary lapse of courage. Jehovah went on to tell Elijah that he was not alone, that in fact there were some 7,000 worshippers still that had not succumbed to idolatry. So friends, what's the message for us? We too can regain courage by meditating on Jehovah's power and the wonderful examples that we have in our brothers and sisters worldwide. We have many fortifying experiences that we've considered here at this regional convention, but also in our publications and on GW broadcast, as we want to continue to benefit and be strengthened by those wonderful experiences. Well, thirdly, let's take a few moments to look at the example of who? Well, none other than Jonah, who we just watched that beautiful video about. But friends, Jonah proclaimed Jehovah's word during the reign of King Jeroboam II. Let's watch the video about Jonah's warning in Samaria.
Allison, can I think you pray? You're like a letter.
It's possible you just made it.
Well, I'm not. You always want to do the right thing. It makes us proud.
So in that instance, what lesson can we learn from Jonah? See, at that point, he was boldly warning Samaria. Friends, we too must be courageous publishers in boldly declaring the message of God. Now what happened next? Well, we know that Jonah ran away from his theocratic assignment. Let's watch this video clip of Jonah boarding the ship. What's the lesson? Well, as was true in the case of Asa, Elijah, and Jonah, once courageous does not necessarily mean always courageous. We must continue to fortify our courage. Our courage is like the strings of a guitar. What happens to the strings of a guitar? It gets played. The strings go out of tune. So we need to continue to tune the strings. So similarly, friends, we need to continue to tune our courage. Courage is like a muscle. A muscle needs to be exercised. Courage is like our bones. You know, experts tell us that astronauts, when they go into space, they actually lose bone density. Their bones become weaker. Why? Because their bones are not feeling the pressure. What's the lesson for us? We need to keep the pressure on in terms of our developing our courage, facing our challenges with Jehovah's help, so that we can keep our courage tuned and strong. Our continued zealous deeds, our deeds of godly devotion, will keep our courage strong and fortified. Now, Jehovah used a storm and a fish to discipline Jonah. Let's watch the video of the storm and the fish. Lessons, friends. Number one, turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11 with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11. It's a beautiful thought from God's Word. Jeremiah 30 and verse 11. Here it says this. Jehovah said, "For I am with you, declares Jehovah, to save you. But I will make an extermination among all the nations to which I scattered you. However, you I will not exterminate. I will discipline you to the proper degree." Do we see the point? The one lesson we learned from that clip of the video is that Jehovah disciplines only to the proper degree. In this case, it was being in the belly of a fish for 3 days. May not be our discipline of choice, but it worked for Jonah. The second lesson we learn, Jehovah perfectly controlled the storm and the fish. So he will control the destructive forces during the war of Armageddon. We do not need to fear that Jehovah will somehow accidentally kill us in Armageddon. There will be no collateral damage. It's not like Jehovah will use the lightning or the hail and all of a sudden he'll miss. Jehovah will miss. We'll be okay. We can trust Jehovah. Now, friends, given another opportunity, Jonah showed great courage. Let's look at the video clip of Jonah preaching in Nineveh. Jonah.
Go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to her the message that I tell you.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I will do as you command.
Number one, Isaiah 64 and verse 8 has these touching words. They say, "But now, O Jehovah, You are our father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the work of your hand. Jehovah molds humble ones, just like he did Jonah, for everlasting life. Number two. Friends, it is better to do things Jehovah's way the first time than go up that way to save poor Jonah. The funds that he wasted, no doubt, on traveling on that ship trying to escape Jehovah and his assignment, were, as we said, those three very interesting, agonizing days, no doubt, in the belly of the fish. Friends, no doubt, we have greater appreciation for the account of Jonah. Well, we are pleased to announce the release of the film, The Story of Jonah, A Lesson in Courage and Mercy. After this talk, the chairman will indicate just how you can access that video. Well, friends, truly, this convention has fortified our courage. In fact, if we take a look, if you have your program, we're just going to scan the program for just a couple of minutes and just look at some of the wonderful gems that we have considered over the course of these 3 days. Now, when we look at Friday, well, it was just wonderful. Think of the information that we learned in the chairman's address, that point about courage is not about our ability. Courage is about our spirituality. It's growing and developing our spirituality that builds courage. What an important point to take away. Of course, our symposium, Why True Christians Need Courage to Preach, to Remain Holy, to Maintain Neutrality. Now, do you remember in that talk, to maintain neutrality, it told us something heartwarming. We were reminded that our precious unity as God's organization is a product of our remaining neutral. How we cherish that. Now, we had the beautiful dramatic Bible reading, Be Courageous and Still Go to Work, reminding us that our courage needs to be demonstrated by action. Go to work. Do the work that Jehovah's assigned us. And that part there on 11:45, no weapon formed against us will have any success. It reminded us that this promise of Jehovah in Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon against you will have success, it's a spiritual heritage of God's people, those who trust in him. Boy, we want to continue to hold on to that spiritual heritage. And in the afternoon, we had the symposium, Courage Weakeners versus Courage Strengtheners. There was a point in that first part, despair versus hope. Did you pick it up? Hope can change our outlook, even if we cannot change our situation. That's a gem. Complaint versus thanksgiving. Do you remember the brother brought out that we want to establish a new habit if we succumb to complaining? When we catch ourselves complaining, immediately change it to thanksgiving. Or how about in this part on wholesome recreation versus field ministry? Remember our young brother who was truly fortified by his experience in the ministry with his older brother? How he saw that we have confidence in God's word that was touching. Now, friends, we had the symposium later in the day, what they risked, how they were rewarded. There we saw examples of ones that we can imitate, of putting their life on the line for the truth, and some giving their life for the truth. What a beautiful part that was as well. There on Saturday morning, you remember the symposium, Be It Courageous. And then it went on to list all these very different situations in life that we can find ourselves. A specific situation, a unique situation for many, And we found specific encouragement of how in these situations, if we find ourselves, that we can remain courageous. In the warning second symposium, imitate not the cowards, but the courageous, we had all these examples to follow of ones that we can imitate in being courageous. Now think about it. To do anything, whether it be an art of painting or anything else we're trying to learn, it's easier to do so when we have someone to imitate, someone to copy. And Jehovah has given us that beautiful example of all these many ones, and we want to continue to copy their courage. Now, looking over there at the afternoon of Saturday, we were touched by the symposium, Learn Courage from Creation. The first part, I love the point, we are led by two lions, none other than Jehovah and Jesus. How about the parable of horses? Horses are not naturally courageous. They have to be trained. And we can be trained to be courageous too. What about mongooses? Defeat the snake. Yes, with Jehovah's power, Jehovah equips us to defeat the devil's attacks. And what about the elephants? Support them. Support everybody. Support one another, just like the elephants do. And then when we got to the symposium, how our brothers are showing courage in these various lands, brothers and sisters, were we not moved by the examples of these ones to preach God's message in spite of the challenges that they faced? Even rabid dogs. How touching it was to see how Jonathan dealt with that mean dog for our sister. Like our brother said, it's not what we expected. Then we had the part courageous but not self-reliant. That part moved us to realize that courage has to be tempered with making sure that we're not going beyond and relying on ourselves. And remember our brother described many ways of how we could show that we're actually relying on ourselves rather than not relying on Jehovah. And of course this morning, what a beautiful symposium we had, featuring future events that will require courage. The cry of peace and security, we need to be on the alert, brothers and sisters. The proclamation of the hailstone message, I appreciated the point there. Remember the formula to remain courageous while we preach this hailstone message? Pray, hope in Jehovah, and act. And of course, the great reconstruction, how we want to be courageous to accept new assignments. Yes, talking about any new assignments that will no doubt be handed out in Jehovah's new organization, or a new world, I should say, for the great reconstruction. Of course, we appreciate the touching, the discourse, the resurrection hope imparts courage now. Now, brothers and sisters, when we think about this convention, you know yourself that many brothers and sisters have gone to great effort to be able to provide us a comfort and services behind the scenes. Our brothers and sisters are volunteers. Would you like to take this opportunity to thank your brothers and sisters who volunteer for all the many departments that made this convention beautiful and comfortable? Exciting it was to see a new arrangement put in place for our attendant department. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to read you a letter that we received at the chairman's office. A sister wrote, I would like to express my gratitude for all the attendants this year. I was praying to Jehovah for help, since this is the first year I need to push my mother in a wheelchair. And I didn't know how I would push her up the ramp, since my health, my back, isn't good. But I took courage and came, and all my worries were gone upon arrival. I didn't even need to ask for help. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What a beautiful example of our brothers. Friends, it was delightful to be able to see a beautiful baptism discourse. And having come from Saskatchewan last year, basically 20 baptized, that represents a small congregation in Saskatchewan. So we had a small congregation baptized today. How do you feel about that? Would you like to welcome them? It's really beautiful, friends. But we also heard of another touching experience that just related all the effort of you brothers and sisters to be able to invite ones to this beautiful convention. We had one lady who approached a witnessing card only a few days ago. And this lady approached and she expressed an interest. Our sister met up with her later and explained to her about our convention. That woman has been here for all 3 days of our convention. Isn't that wonderful? So let's compare. To strengthen us, brothers and sisters, let us compare who is against us with who is with us. First of all, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 19 to 21. Would you read that with me? John chapter 15, verses 19 to 21. There we read these words of John 15:19-21. It says this. If you were part of the world, Jesus said, the world would be fond of what is its own. Now because you are no part of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, for this reason the world hates you. Keep in mind the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have observed my word, they will also observe yours. But they will do all these things against you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. Jesus foretold that the world would hate us. And it's true. In fact, the Bible tells us about three elements that are in the world, that are part of the world. Three realms, if you will, of Satan's world that are against us. Number one, false religion. Revelation chapter 17 tells us that this woman, Babylon the Great, false religion, is described as a spiritual prostitute. And it says that she is drunk with the blood of God's servants. What does that mean? It takes not just a little alcohol, but a lot for a person to get drunk. This shows that this woman, Babylon the Great, has consumed a great quantity of the blood of God's servants. And that is true. History proves it. The second element, Satan's political wild beast, oppresses us. Friends, today in our audience, did you know that we have many brothers and sisters here who are refugees from countries that were fomenting political opposition to Jehovah's people. They're here with us. For example, we have our Tigrinya congregation with us. It's just one example. of our brothers and sisters, many from Eritrea. We had one Eritrean sister who got baptized today. What, how beautiful was that? Brothers and sisters, are you not happy to have these brothers and sisters with us here today? Of course, on occasion, the commercial part of Satan's world opposes us as well. But far offsetting the world's hatred is those who are with us. The love of our brotherhood. Yes, our brothers and sisters are with us. About 8.5 million of Jehovah's people live in the world population of about 7.5 billion. Now, it's true. We're outnumbered some 800 to 1. But that's okay. It has to be that way. Because when does Jehovah deliver anyone unless they're highly outnumbered? Gideon? Highly outnumbered. Elijah? Outnumbered 450 to 1. Yes, Jehovah gave Gideon and Elijah resounding victories. And while we feel outnumbered, Jehovah will deliver us too. And remember, friends, we are not alone. Unlike those who can count supportive friends only on the fingers of one hand, with fingers to spare, we have over 8 million people who are with us. Where else but in Jehovah's organization can we find such unselfish expressions of compassion, concern, and love? Where else can we find this extended family of spiritual brothers and sisters? It's a promise from Jesus. Remember, Jesus told us in Mark chapter 10, he said that he that has given up houses and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters will gain 100 times more now and in the new system to come. But friends, why is the love of our brotherhood particularly special? It's beautiful, but why is it remarkable? Well, please, turn with me to John chapter 13 and verse 34. That's John 13 and verse 34. Notice what it says here. John 13 and verse 34, it says, Jesus said, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. It is particularly special, the love of our brotherhood, because our brothers and sisters love us the way Jesus did. And that is what makes us particularly remarkable. Experiences confirm that our brothers are willing even to die for us. Let's now look at a 3-minute video about Lloyd Linkwide and Jack Johansson.
The persecutions went throughout Malawi. Soon after the announcement was made, the witnesses were buried in the country. Their houses were burned, and their maize crops were confiscated because they refused to participate in the country's politics. The regular visits that Brother Johansson was doing as a French representative at that time really encouraged the brothers from various parts of the country who were affected by the persecution. His wife, Linda, suggested that he should ask someone to accompany him so that he did not have to do the work alone. And she suggested that I accompany him. This was because of the fear of what might happen. When he got to the ferry crossing, the soldiers told Brother Hansen to get up and stand in front of the jeep. They said to me, you can pass, but we first have to shoot the white man. because the scriptures say, no one is better off than this, that someone should surrender his life in behalf of his friends. I say, should me instead, what did this man do? Yes, it happened without giving it a second thought. It just happened spontaneously. I stood between him and the soldiers. Fear, not very much, because the people that we fought were going to harm us had a complete change of heart. And I made that brother once and also saved my life. I was stopped by a youth worker at a motor. They asked her to eat her heart. They would have killed me. So Brother Hansen just sped off with his vehicle. Yes, it was really exciting to see that Jehovah God has many ways of saving his people. Elijah said, for they are more of us than those who are with them. And again, Jehovah will rescue his people. So, in countries where our brothers are fair, I encourage them to stand firm, trusting in God. The God who never fails, Jehovah, was at the end of the
world. Think of what our brothers and sisters do for us. In addition to what we see in friends of our brothers being willing to put their life on the line, our brothers and sisters pray for us. Now that's very interesting because James chapter 5 and verse 16, it said that the prayer of the righteous one has a powerful effect with Jehovah. We have 8.5 million of them. Righteous ones praying for each other around the world. What a blessing. Our brothers help us in other ways too. Look at the willingness of you brothers and sisters willing to support the worldwide work in the construction of kingdom halls in other countries. At times, our brothers write letters to officials in behalf of the worldwide work. Recall the video that we saw Friday morning, documenting how you supported your brothers and sisters in Russia. Brothers were willing to stand by their brothers in the court of law. Let's look at the video clip of the international delegation to the court in Russia.
Well, I have the privilege of being part of a delegation of brothers from 18 countries who have been assigned by the governing body to attend the Supreme Court hearing in Moscow on July the 17th. The principal objective is to show unity and support for our brothers.
I move to Russia in order to be of encouragement for the local Russian brothers and sisters there. I will encourage them to continue to obey Jehovah as ruler rather than them.
And our intent is to try and visit as many of the embassies and speak to a variety of different high officials about what's happening right now with our brothers in Russia. And to really, when you think of it, this is almost a way of saying that our international brotherhood is all coming to the defense or to the aid of our brothers in Russia. And actually, when you think about it, when you meditate on it, it really is a very, very beautiful thing.
Jehovah has everything under control. And whatever the outcome may be, there is no doubt that Jehovah will continue to strengthen our brothers.
Brothers, included in among our brothers and sisters who are with us is none other than the governing body. The governing body wants to take this opportunity to express to each one of you at this convention, friends, they truly love each one of you. And they are very much praying that Jehovah will help you to remain courageous. Through the faithful slave, Jehovah is providing the food that we need at the proper time to help us keep strong and to be courageous. Let's look at a second group that is with us and against us. Let's look at who's against us. The demons. Yes, the demons are against us, but with us is the faithful angels, the resurrected, anointed ones, and none other than the glorified Michael, Jesus Christ. How many angels are with us? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 says that there are myriads of myriads. Well, how many is that? Well, you could say one myriad is 10,000. So that's what? 10,000 times 10,000? What's that, 100 million? That's not what it says, friends. It says myriads of myriads. It's plural. It means 10,000s times 10,000s. That means hundreds of millions, perhaps billions, of faithful angels are with us. And what are they doing? Well, please, turn with me to the heartening words of Psalm chapter 91. And let's read how these angels are supporting us. Psalm 91. And let's look at verses 10 and 11. What does it tell us there? It says, no disaster will befall you, and no plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels a command concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Yes, friends, Jehovah is using his faithful angels to protect us spiritually so that our wonderful spirituality that guards our hope will not be in jeopardy as we remain close to Jehovah. Not only that, the angels work to guide us in our preaching work. Imagine, the Bible says that these angels fly in mid-heaven where the birds fly. Are you a bird watcher? Many are. Are you an angel watcher? We must be. We have the privilege to be on the lookout for the direction of the faithful angels in our ministry. And that should build courage in us. Now, demonstrating the great power that the angels have, an angel single-handedly killed 185 enemy soldiers in one night. You remember the account with King Hezekiah. Let's look at the video clip of that destruction. We can also be sure that the resurrected and anointed ones are with us. Now, remember that God's word tells us that these resurrected and anointed ones in heaven now were clothed with immortality and incorruption. A remarkable, remarkable gift from Jehovah God. What does that mean? Well, it means basically that they been given by Jehovah this self-sustaining life, a body that is incorruptible. How heartening to contemplate, friends, that the mighty angels and these resurrected anointed ones are with us, supporting us now, and they will support us through the great tribulation. But even more impressive than that is the fact that with us is the glorified Michael, our King. Christ Jesus. Yes, remember that Jesus in the scriptures is said to be our prince. Yes, when an angel came to give encouraging words to the prophet Daniel, he said that it was Michael, the prince of you people, that stood up for him. Now, Michael has immortality, incorruption, and all power and authority as Messianic King, and he stands with us. What has Michael already done? Well, we know that back in 1914, shortly after, we know that Jesus, Michael, he already proved his superiority over the angels, the demons, that is, and Satan, of course, by hurling them out of heaven to the vicinity of the earth. Now, we know that soon, Revelation tells us he's going to hurl them into the abyss. What is that going to be? Nothing more than a repeat performance. He's already done it once. How happy we are, friends, that Jesus is fulfilling his promise to be with us. But let's finally consider, friends, the last comparison of who's against us and who's with us. Now, decidedly, Satan, the devil, is against us. The Bible describes him as a fierce dragon. And that may sound frightening. But Satan has two big problems. Number one, the champion of God's sovereignty in Jesus. And number two, the champion's father. Insurmountable problem of the devil. Remember, friends, Satan was created by Jehovah. Jehovah created Satan. The devil is just as, dependent or just as susceptible to Jehovah's wrath as we are. Yes, Satan may set himself up as the God of this system, but Jehovah is the Almighty God of the universe. You know, something's very interesting. In the beginning, Satan did challenge God's honesty, but he never challenged his power. And soon, the devil is going to come face to face with God's indisputable power. Now, friends, what encouragement that should give us to recognize that Jehovah God is with us. In fact, please read with me what it says in Isaiah chapter 41. Verses 10 to 13. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10 to 13. Notice what it says. Here in these heartwarming words, then it says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be anxious, for I am your God. I will fortify you. Yes, I will help you. I will really hold on to you with my right hand of righteousness. Look, all those getting enraged against you will be put to shame and humiliated. Those who fight with you will be brought to nothing and perish. You will search for men who struggle with you, but you will not find them. The men at war with you will become as something non-existent, as nothing at all. For I, Jehovah your God, am grasping your right hand, the one saying to you, do not be afraid, I will help you." Yes, friends, Jehovah repeatedly in his word reminds us to be courageous because he is with us. It is brilliantly clear that as Elijah said, there are more with us than are against us. So friends, when we think about this, what do you think are the beautiful blessings that await for those that remain courageous? Well, peace, happiness. Yes, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it tells us, it says, become imitators of God. Why is that a blessing that we have for remaining courageous? Because we are imitating Jehovah, and that makes us happy. We're not imitating Satan, who's a coward. We do not imitate cowards. Yes, friends, in this world, Sometimes we can get down on ourselves, it's true. Sometimes we might have momentary lapses of courage. But brothers and sisters, let us continue to throw all our anxiety on the one who cares for us, and he will sustain us. Can we be certain of future blessings? Please, read with me what is said at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2. In this last beautiful verse that we're going to consider in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2, notice what it says. It says, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, because you keep listening to the voice of Jehovah your God. What blessings? Friends, the blessing of the promised new world, the blessing of those who are faithful anointed ones who will rejoice in heaven forever and ever, the blessing of loyal other sheep who have the privilege to look forward to the exquisite delight of being part of God's new earth. Imagine growing to perfection, beautifying the earth, and welcoming and teaching resurrected ones, those blessings. And you know what? When it comes to acting courageously and pleasing Jehovah, you can run, but you can't hide. And that's what this verse is telling us. The blessings will overtake us. We cannot hide from these beautiful blessings that Jehovah has in store as long as we remain courageous. Friends, please enjoy this final convention video, which will remind us of the many lessons about courage that we have enjoyed at this convention.
Surround me, the way ahead not clear. Through uncertainty you guide me, I know you're always near. Life may not be easy, but this I know is true. You're the God ever loyal, my life is safe with you.
Thank you.
his true friends. The world, the demons, and Satan may all be against us. But always remember, our brothers, the worldwide congregation, including the governing body, are with us. The myriads of powerful angels, the immortal, resurrected, anointed ones, and the glorified Michael are with us. But most important, the sovereign Lord Jehovah himself is with us. We have every reason to be courageous as our convention theme urges. If we heed this admonition, we will have no regrets, and Jehovah will be well pleased. And friends, when we please Jehovah, remember, there are consequences. Eternal blessings for being courageous. Thank you, Brother Westdorf. Your talk and the entire convention has built our courage and our confidence in Jehovah's backing.